Well, if you could turn, if you have your Bibles with you, your Bibles or your tablets or your iPhones or whatever you have, turn with me to the book of Leviticus. And we're going to talk tonight on Kol Nidre about the Day of Atonement. I want to start out with the passage of the Bible that is most commonly read on the Day of Atonement, on Yom Kippur. And you know, all of the feasts of the Lord, and they're not the Jewish feasts, they're the feasts of the Lord because they were outlined in the Bible by God thousands of years ago. They're found in Leviticus 23, including the Sabbath, including the weekly Sabbath. But we see things like Passover and Rosh Hashanah and Shavuot. But we also see Yom Kippur outlined, the Day of Atonement outlined in Leviticus 23. And I'm going to read verses 26 through 32 of Leviticus 23. This sets the stage here for what we're talking about tonight. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Now on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be for you a time of holy convocation, and you shall afflict yourselves and present a food offering to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that very day, for it is a Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For whoever is not afflicted on that day shall be cut off from his people. And whoever does any work on that day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall not do any work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwelling places. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the 9th day of the month, beginning at the evening, from the evening to evening shall you keep the Sabbath." Leviticus 23:26-32. So last week we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, Wednesday night, Thursday day, last week, about 10 days ago. On the first day of Tishrei, which is the first day of the 7th month, which is traditionally the Jewish New Year. And the last 10 days have been called the Days of Awe. This is what we've been in, the Days of Awe. These are days of examination. These are days of reflection. This is a day, Yom Kippur, when Jews throughout the world, and this is pretty much the only day that most Jews throughout the world will stop and take stock of their lives, and they'll take this day to fast, to pray, to reflect. This is where life in Judaism pretty much stops, and it's really the only day a year. So it's a very solemn day, it's a very important day, and very special and unique day. Now, traditionally, the rabbis say the book of Jonah is read on Yom Kippur. You wouldn't think that the book of Jonah would be read on Yom Kippur, right? But the book of Jonah is traditionally read on Yom Kippur. And the rabbis say that there's four reasons for reading the book of Jonah. Okay? Number one, it's a reminder of God's mercy. Because what? God saved a pagan people that were extremely evil, the people of Nineveh. Nineveh was the capital of Assyria, by the way. Nineveh was the capital of the kingdom of Assyria. We know about Assyria in the Bible, right? We'll talk about that a little later. So it's a reminder of God's mercy. Number two, it's a day of repentance, a time of teshuva. Number three, it's a reminder that the entire world is in God's hands. And number four, it's a time for having our prayers answered. And this is like a day where Jewish people pray, because this is the day where they could be written in the book of life, right? And you see here, I just want to point this out really quickly. On the screens, we have the traditional symbol of Yom Kippur. The traditional symbol is a scale. Why is it a scale? It's not a biblical symbol, it's a traditional symbol. The reason we use it in traditional Judaism is because the scale represents on one side the good things that we do, and on the other side the bad things that we do. And in traditional Judaism, it's believed that if this year you do more good things than bad things, you're written in the book of life. So this is where Jewish people are sweating a little bit, right? Especially if they've done some really bad things during the year. Because if that bad side of the scale outweighs the good side, whoop, you missed it for the year. You're not inscribed in the book of life. So even though it's a solemn and holy day, it's a very stressful day for Jewish people. Because what if I didn't do enough good things? What if God doesn't think that I did enough good deeds? What if I didn't help people? What if I wasn't this or that? So it is a stressful day for Judaism. So they're doing everything they can to tip the scales the other way, to make sure they've done enough good things to outweigh the bad things. But today I want to talk about one of these things in the book of Jonah, And, you know, we could talk about how God's graceful and wonderful, and he forgives us of our sins, even when those bad things outweigh those good things for some of us, for many of us, right? But I want to center around the number two thing that the rabbis say, and that really is this idea of teshuva in Judaism and for Yom Kippur, this idea of repentance for returning. Teshuva is the word that we use in the Hebrew, and it really means to turn. Okay, really, what it means is to turn 180 degrees. Okay, because you could just turn right around and do the same thing. You could spin around 360 degrees and just keep on going around. Right, you could do all the motions. Right, but not change anything. But teshuva really is turning around 180 degrees and walking in the opposite direction. That's what teshuva means. It means to turn, or in the case of Judaism, to return to the Lord. To turn around, though, from what we've been doing, from the bad, from the evil, from the not thinking of God, from the forgetting all these things. And teshuva starts with acknowledging that we've done something wrong. This is the first step. If you look at the definition of repentance, or to repent, it means to feel sorry, self-reproachful, or contrite for past conduct. Not just conduct, though, but thoughts as well, right? You could do everything right on the outside, but be a mess inside, and be cursing everybody you see, and be wishing that this person would, I want to put a hex on that person, I want to do this to that person. You know, you could be thinking such evil thoughts in your head, but appear so nice and loving on the outside. So it's not just your conduct, it's your thoughts as well, because you know why? God sees your thoughts. He doesn't just see your conduct. You can't fool the Lord. You may be able to fool your family or your friends. Maybe not your family sometimes. But you cannot fool the Lord. So this is a time for repentance, both with our conduct and our thoughts, our thought life. And the question is not, will we mess up? That's not the question. We shouldn't be asking ourselves the question this next year is, oh, are we going to screw up? We got to make sure we don't screw up in our bad deeds. Because you know what? We will screw up. This is the thing. We talk a lot about this because we always do this. We always screw up. Man, woman, child, adult, there is absolutely 100% chance that you're going to break one of the alket this next coming up year. Try as you might, you're going to do it. So the question is not, will we mess up? Will we sin? Will we fall short? Because you know what? We're going to. Sorry, it's a little depressing, but we're going to. We're going to probably, as soon as we walk out the door. But it's inevitable. But the real question is, when we do mess up, what is our response? This is what I want to talk about tonight. When we mess up, not if, what is our response? What is our response when God calls us? Are we going to listen, or are we going to fight the Lord? What is our response when God disciplines us? Do we listen, or do we fight the Lord? What is our response when God reveals things to us? Do we listen, or do we fight the Lord? All of this is tied up into the book of Jonah that I want to talk about tonight. Because Jonah totally shows all of these things. And we can talk about all these things. But we need to understand that repentance is not just something we do on Yom Kippur. Repentance really should be a lifestyle for every one of us. We should really remember on Yom Kippur and let this carry it through to us throughout this next year, that we need to be having a spirit of repentance, both with our conduct and our thoughts, as we go throughout our lives every single day. That's what the book of Jonah can tell us. So turn with me to Jonah chapter 1. Let's start tonight talking about this very interesting story. You know, Jonah is only about 4 chapters. Pretty much everybody knows the book of Jonah, right? Even if you're not religious, you know he got swallowed up by this big fish, and he was in the fish 3 days, and then the fish spit him out. And then he went and he preached to Nineveh. That's pretty much the story, but there's a lot more to the story, because the story has everything to do with what we're talking about tonight for repentance. Jonah 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." Now listen, you know it's really bad when the evil that you're doing comes up before the Lord. This isn't like I stole a piece of candy from the store. This is, I've done some crazy, terrible, devious, evil things. This was the picture of Nineveh. Nineveh was not just some country that, you know, sometimes did some things wrong, or, you know, they forgot the Ten Commandments once in a while, or maybe they convicted certain people that were supposed to go free. Nineveh was a country of completely corrupt and evil people. Okay? We know that the pagan world was very, very, very corrupt at that time. It was, so to speak, the Dark Ages as far as that's concerned. That's why God had to call Israel out of that. Remember, called Israel out of Egypt, out of paganism that they were immersed in for 400 plus years, and brought them to a land. And the whole point of the land of Israel and the Jewish people was supposed to be a light to the nations, to show these pagan nations that there's a different way, there's a better way, according to the Lord. So Nineveh was a bad place. It was, if you could think of the worst city to go to in this country, I can think of about three or four. But if you think of the worst place to go in this world, Nineveh is like right up there on your list. Okay, so Nineveh is a bad place with a lot of bad people. And here's what God says to Jonah. Go and call out against it, for the evil has come up before me. Now listen, Jonah was a prophet of God. His profession was to go and preach to people about God. This wasn't like, oh, I don't know what to say, God. I mean, this is what he did for a living, all right? He knew how to preach. And he was going around Israel, and he was preaching about God. But, you know, this is very striking, because God is telling him to go not to Jewish people, but to go to Gentiles. And what's worse, really bad pagans in Nineveh. So what he did for a living came very easy to him, but his job was to listen to God and do what God says. That was his whole job as a prophet. And what God tells him to do, these prophets were God's mouthpiece. Whatever, it was easy. Whatever God told you, you just said it. You didn't have to make stuff up. You didn't have to have all this flowing words. You just had to say whatever God called to your heart to say. But even the prophets had some fleshly moments, and Jonah has a certain response to the Lord, doesn't he? Jonah chapter 1, verse 3. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Jaffa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. So here's the prophet of God that's supposed to be in the presence of the Lord to hear the words and speak to the people. And he's turning around. He's doing teshuva against the Lord. And he's going the exact opposite direction. I love talking about this, but, you know, I have little kids, and I read to my kids the children's Bibles, right? And there's a great one that we're reading now. And there's the story of Jonah, right? And then there's two signs, right? And one of them says Tarshish, and the other side of the sign in this little kid's Bible says not Tarshish. And it says Jonah goes to not Tarshish, and he goes in the exact opposite direction, right? Why did he flee? Why did he go to not Tarshish, right? That's the question. Is it because he didn't love God? No. Is it because he was a little burnt out of being a prophet? Man, those hours are terrible. The overtime was killing him, right? It wasn't that. Was it because no one ever listens? Wasn't that either. It was because he didn't want to go to Nineveh, because Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And you know what? Being a prophet, he may have had in his mind an idea. Jonah preached about, I don't know, less than 100 years before the northern 10 tribes were carried off into exile by none other than the Assyrians. Do you think maybe Jonah had an inkling that this was coming? Do you think maybe Jonah had an idea that his people, the people of God, would be taken from the land and purged out of the land because of disobedience by the Assyrians? So why in his right mind would he want to go and preach to this people to repent when they were the same people that was going to drive his people into exile? So I'm thinking he might have said, why? Why would I go to those people? Those are the ones that hate us, God. Those are the ones that want us dead, God. If it wasn't for you, Lord, they would have already killed us. Do you ever rationalize with God? Do you ever say that to God? But God, that doesn't make sense because of this, 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 and this. And you have very good reasons, right? You have very good reasons to tell God. But you know what? Jonah has some pretty good reasons to go to not Tarshish. But listen. This is the thing. Jonah didn't think they were worthy of God's mercy. Jonah knew. He knew there was a good chance after he preached to them that they would repent. He knew that they would do teshuva and get their lives together. and regroup, so to speak, because he knew it was to come. You see, Jonah was playing God. This is the thing. He thought he knew better than God. When God tells you to do something and it doesn't make sense, do you rationalize with God and say, you know what, that doesn't make sense? So, God, I'm going to tell you all the reasons why this should not happen. Or do we say, yes, Lord, even though we don't understand it, it seems to go against everything we think? How many times has that happened in the scriptures? A lot. But see, he thought he knew better than God. We think sometimes we know better than God. The question is, has God asked us to do something in our lives and we say, no, that's not right. I don't want to do that because they don't deserve it, or because they don't deserve it, or whatever it is. You think you know better than God. Jonah sure did. Sometimes when God calls, it just doesn't make sense. Like for many of you here that are not born Jewish or that came from a completely other background, when God called you to come to a Messianic synagogue, did you immediately just say, oh yeah, I'll go there. That sounds really great, God. You were probably like, what? What are you talking about? You probably said something like, I'm not Jewish, or I have no idea what they're saying up there, or, you know, it's very foreign to me. Why am I here? I feel out of place. But if God called you, there's a reason he called you. And listen, many of us, the first time we set foot in a Messianic synagogue, Jew or Gentile, probably thought, ooh, this is a little weird. This is a little different. But God still calls us to things, even though it's uncomfortable. We have to trust that God knows better than us. Jonah didn't think God knew better. Jonah thought he knew better than God. So, what happens? At times like this, we act like Jonah, we don't listen, and what happens? There's consequences to our actions, and there were certainly consequences to Jonah's action, right? God sends this great fish, and it swallows up Jonah. Jonah 1, chapter 1, verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. So actually what happened first was God created these strong winds when he boarded that ship to not Tarshish. He was with all these other sailors, right? All these other people were on the ship with him. And all of a sudden, he notices that the ship starts encountering all these rough waters. And to the point where if nothing was done, everybody would drown, the ship would be capsized, and everybody would die, including Jonah. So Jonah at least comes to his senses and realizes this. And what does he say? Throw me over. I don't want you all to die. I mean, he at least has some humanity. And he says, okay, I'm stubborn, but I'm not that stubborn. I'm not going to kill everybody else. You know, so at least let me die. Throw me over the side. Of course, he gets thrown over the side. The fish swallows him up, and he's in the belly of the fish for 3 days and nights. So there's consequences to our actions or inactions for ourselves and even for others too. See, Jonah could have brought about the death of other people. When we sin and we get stubborn and we go to our not Tarshish and we think we know better than God, there's consequences for us and for other people too. We have to be mindful of that. We have to be very careful because what we do and don't do can affect others too. What you do can affect your family. What you do can affect your friends. We have to be very careful and be mindful of that. So Jonah was engulfed by the great fish and was there 3 days and nights. And many times when consequences happen and we're sitting in a fish, we all of a sudden want to do teshuvah, right? Oh, yeah, I think I'll repent now. I think I'll cry out to God for the sins I've committed. And you know what? It really, you know, it shakes you up a little bit. Jonah was a little shooken up. And what does he do? He's like, oh, God, I can just imagine Jonah in the fish for 3 days. Now, it wasn't like 20 minutes. You know, when you get thrown into like a fish, so to speak, in your life for 20 minutes and there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and I can't believe this, God, that you did this to me. And then 20 minutes later, everything's fine. Imagine that for three whole days and nights. Imagine being in a fish three whole days and nights, thinking about the consequences of your actions. He was truly repentant. He was like, I don't think I'm going to get out of here. I better come clean about everything. And I'm sorry, God. I repent, God. You know, when trouble comes, we're very quick to repent and cry out, aren't we? But are we repenting because we're truly sorry, or are we repenting because we want to get out of the fish, of the bad situation? Jonah, unfortunately, was not truly sorry, and this is what we're going to find throughout the rest of the story. He wasn't truly sorry before the Lord. He was sorry he got caught. He was sorry he got put in the fish, and he was going to do anything he could to get out. When we're in a bad situation, sometimes we're not sorry. You ever have a with your child? You know, you discipline your kid, and they're, I'm sorry. They're not really sorry. They just don't want to be getting what's coming next, which is restriction or taking away their video games or taking away TV or whatever it is. But sometimes we repent and we're not truly sorry. This is a time tonight to repent and be truly sorry for what we've done before the Lord. Not thinking we know better than God, but truly sorry for what we've done before the Lord. That's what repentance requires. That we are contrite for past conduct. That we recognize what we did was wrong, not that we just got caught. This was the problem with Jonah. So then there's the explanation. Jonah 3, chapter 3, verse 10 through chapter 4, verse 3. I'm going to read that. So 3:10 to 4:3. When this is the explanation now that God gives Jonah. When God saw what they did, the people of Nineveh, how they turned from their evil way, God did what? He relented of the disaster that he said he would do to them, and he did not do it. Now, let me stop right there. They were, so to speak, put in the belly of the fish. And unlike Jonah, they truly repented. We know they truly repented because God saw that they turned. They did teshuvah from their evil ways. They didn't just do it because they got caught. They didn't just do it because Jonah came in and said, if you don't fast and pray in a year, 45 days, whatever it is, you're going to be wiped out. They didn't just say, oh, I can't have that, and then repent. They were truly sorry. They put on the proverbial sackcloth and ashes, and they went before the Lord, and they were repentant. And because of that, he did not bring about the calamity. So we'll continue with verse 1 of chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. This guy was extremely, he was having a pity party, basically, was what was going on. Jonah was having a pity party, and he was at the point where, God, I told you what was going to happen. Don't you see? I knew this would happen. I knew that they would repent. I knew that they would turn truly from their ways, and I knew you would forgive them. This is terrible. I knew this was going to happen, and you know what? That's why I didn't go, because you know what? You relented. You're this great God that loves people and is merciful and slow to anger, and just kill me now, God. I mean, what a little baby, you know what I mean? He was having such a pity party because he didn't get his way, because his way was to have them burn, you know, have them go down in flames because they're bad. They're the bad guys. So Jonah did not have the right heart before the Lord. Jonah did not have the right repentant heart before the Lord, because he went and he preached to Nineveh to stop their wicked ways, and they listened, they repented. But Jonah didn't get it. He never repented. God gives Jonah the explanation as to why. Because Jonah says, why? Why did you do this? Why did you do this to this evil pagan people that don't deserve it? Of course, Jonah thought they didn't deserve it. God says in Jonah 4, chapter 4, verse 11, and should I not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? This shows us the great love and mercy of God, that he would look at terrible sinners like the Assyrians and have compassion and mercy and love on them and want to have them repent and turn to him. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. If there's hope for Nineveh tonight, there's hope for you and I. Okay? But Jonah didn't think it was awesome. Many times when God gives you and I the explanation as to why he does things, do we accept it? Or do we throw a pity party like Jonah? Oh, just kill me now. You know, I don't want to deal with this. We act like that. We're not truly repentant. And you know what? We don't want pity on other people. You ever thought that? You know, God, have mercy on me, we always say. But then when we look at our enemies, we don't want God to have mercy on them. But what does God say in the Word? He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Exactly the opposite. This is the heart of our God. This is what God really wants to do. But when we play God, when we think we know more than God, and when we say, well, please forgive us, but don't forgive them because they've done too many bad things to me, that's the opposite. That's the opposite of where we need to be this time of the year. And what do all these things have in common? So when God calls, what's our response? We know what Jonah's response was. What's our response going to be when he tells us to do something that's a little out of the ordinary? When God disciplines us, what's our response? Are we going to learn, or are we going to just pout more and just say, throw me over the boat, kill me, do da, 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 da? Are we going to act like that when God disciplines us? And when God explains, he doesn't even have to explain himself to us. But when he explains himself to us, what's our response? It should always be one of teshuva, of repentance. Who are we to think that we have this thing called life all figured out? You know, as you get older, I found when you're young, I always think of Joseph. When Joseph was 17 years old, he had that coat of many colors, he had those dreams, and he thought he knew it all. And as he got older, he probably realized, I don't really know so much. Don't you act like that too? When we're younger, when you were a teenager, you probably thought, man, I know everything. You teenagers here probably are thinking, I know everything. And when you get older, you realize how little you know. As you get more and more older, you realize, I really don't have it together. I really don't understand. I really don't have the mind of God. I really mess up. That's wisdom, really, is what happens as you get older and you realize, no, I didn't know everything. Well, you know what? The thing is, we have to know, we have to understand, whether we're young or old tonight, that we think we know more than God, but we don't know more than God. This tonight, Teshuva, all of this is all about acknowledging that God is in control and command of our lives. What he says goes, not what we think. Not what we think he should do. Repentance means that we acknowledge that we don't know it all, and that there is a greater power, greater than us, that we will answer to. Jonah had to answer to him. Nineveh had to answer to him. And you and I tonight have to answer to the Lord, especially on this night. See, the thing is, you can't outrun God, because Jonah couldn't outrun God. He certainly figured that out. We spend so much time in our lives, the other 364 days, running from God, or at least saying, I can find my own way, God. Thank you very much. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to go do this thing. I'm going to go. This seems right to me. I'm going to go do. This is like the human condition here. We can't outrun God, and we spend so much time fighting God and trying to outrun him rather than just doing what he asks. See, every step of the way, if you just do what God asks, it's going to go better for you. But because first comes the call, and if you obey and do the right thing for the call, you're good. But if you don't listen, then comes the discipline. And if you don't listen, then God explains himself and you just get further in the hole. Better to listen when he first calls. We need to be ready to listen when he first calls us. Will you be like Jonah and fight against God? Or will you listen and obey tonight and today? When you mess up, not if you mess up, because we're all going to mess up, how quick are we going to be to do teshuva? How quick are you going to be to snap out of it, realize what you've done? Because we're all going to do it. We're all going to sin and realize that you need to come to the Lord. You need to get on his page and do what he's wanting you to do, and it's going to go better for you. Will you repent? You know, repentance is so pivotal. Repentance is so important that you know it's the absolute first thing that Yeshua preached when he came to do his earthly ministry. Matthew 4:17. First thing, he didn't come out and heal lepers. He didn't come out and walk on water. He didn't come out and grab, 5,000 fish and the bread and all this stuff. He says, from that time, the beginning of his ministry, Yeshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You got to repent to get in the right frame of mind, to get in the right perspective, so that you can hear from God, listen to God, and obey God. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These are Yeshua's words. Yeshua didn't say, have prosperity in this life. Go out and conquer. He didn't say, do whatever you want. Do whatever feels right. He didn't say, do whatever is proper and right to you. He didn't even say, do what you think is proper and right in my eyes. He said, repent. That's what he said to do. So tonight, on this Yom Kippur, on this Day of Atonement, let's put in our hearts and our minds, with our actions and our thoughts, let's put in our hearts and our minds to repent, to do teshuvah, to come back to God. If you've messed up big, if you've messed up small, return, repent. Why? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these examples that we have. The book of Jonah, traditionally read on Yom Kippur. And Lord, we know one of the reasons we read it is because of repentance, of teshuvah. Lord, help us not to just read the words, sing a couple of songs, feel a little better, and then go home. I pray tonight in synagogues throughout the world, throughout this country, that people realize that they can't outrun God, that they realize that they've messed up, and many times the bad has outweighed the good. But also realize you're compassionate, you're loving, and you're merciful. And even if we're as bad as Nineveh, there's hope for us tonight. And I pray, Lord God, you take the scales off of our eyes so that we can truly see you, so that we can truly have a humble heart before you and realize you know better than us, God. And repent, because why? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he came 2,000 years ago, the greatest prophet that Israel had ever known, a prophet greater than Moses. Deuteronomy chapter 18 has come. His name is Yeshua. And he came with a message not of, let's go conquer the Romans. He came with a message of prosperity and peace and blessing. He came instead with a message, repent, repent, teshuvah. Let us have a heart of repentance tonight, Lord, before you. Let us have a heart to seek your face above our ways. And therefore, we will truly see you and turn from our evil ways. And be forgiven tonight in the name of Yeshua, by the blood of the one who died for us. As it says in the Alchet prayer, who by his stripes we are healed. We thank you, God, for that from our Jewish prophet Isaiah. By your stripes we are healed. You died for us. Your blood was shed for us. If we acknowledge our sins before you, if we repent and do teshuvah, and accept that sacrifice of you, Yeshua. We are written in the book of life. You are the Lamb of God, Yeshua, that takes away the sin of the world. May many people tonight, here in Savannah, may many people tonight, even on our live stream or here in this room, tonight, acknowledge you for the first time, repent of their evil ways, and regard you as their Lord and King and Savior. And accept Yeshua in their hearts, Lord God. We pray for unsaved people, Jewish and non-Jewish in this area. We pray for our people, Lord God, that they would see, that they would understand, and that they would turn and do repentance, teshuva, and accept you, Yeshua. If you've done that tonight for the first time, you are written. You don't have to worry. You're written in the book of life. If you've come back to him tonight, you don't have to worry. The scales, just take them away. You're written in the book of life. Well, we thank you for that we're written in your book of life. And we acknowledge you as King over our lives tonight and every night. We thank you and praise you, God of Israel. And we thank you for what you've done for us, Yeshua. It's in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.